time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning to you, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
Now tell me, what are we discussing this week again?
Well, anyone who has driven on Winnipeg's main street in the vicinity of Higgins Avenue is undoubtedly familiar with the subway. That's where the road goes under some railway tracks. This week, we're looking at a different kind of subway at Verdun and at Dauphin. We're looking at pedestrian subways where people can walk underneath railways. And we're also going to talk about how we know what we know when it comes to Manitoba history.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a lot to break down and digest. Where do we start?
Well, I should point out that there are several places around Manitoba where people can walk under railways. But the ones we're considering today involve only pedestrian access. In other words, there's no vehicle traffic going underneath the rails. Let's start with Verdun, because it is the older of the two subways.
Okay, so how did the subway at Verdun get built?
Well, Verdun, like a lot of prairie towns, is a product of the Canadian Pacific Railway. Founded in 1882, Verdun has the CPR main line running right through its middle. A considerable part of the residential area of Verdun lies on each side of the track. And in the early 20th century, there were two roads about a half mile apart where people and vehicles could cross that track. Now, understandably, pedestrians who wanted to get to the other side rarely walked all the way to a formal crossing. Instead, they would simply walk across the track wherever they wished. In 1915, a report by the CPR stated that over a 72-hour period, they had counted 214 people crossing the track at one of those two streets. They had counted 381 people crossing at the other street. And they had counted 2,403 people, you know, like
wow.
10 times as many crossing between the streets over the track. In other words, there was a whole lot of traffic crossing somewhere other than at the official crossings. And essentially, it was an accident waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was an additional dimension to the problem. 100 years ago, the only public school in Verdun, and in fact, also the main commercial area of the town, was located south of the railway track. So any school children and shoppers who lived north of the track were, of course, obliged to cross the track. The story goes that a little girl was attempting to walk between cars of a stationary train and was severely injured when the train began to move. The public outrage at the incident motivated the Verdun Women's Institute to lobby the town and the railway to construct a subway for the safety of Verdun school children.
Yeah, that must have been an absolutely stunning and tragic incident for the community. And the subway that was built, tell me more about that.
Well, a government commission that investigated the case issued a report in late 1915. But the subway wasn't built until 2 years later, in 1917. When done, the subway was a 125-foot-long concrete tunnel, 8 feet high and 8 feet wide, built roughly halfway between those two road crossings. And it was actually coincidentally near the CPR train station, which, by the way, is a beautiful stone building that still stands today. Unfortunately, the railway balked at paying for that subway. It was an estimated $10,000. And just to put that into context, that's worth about $250,000 in today's money. The railway argued that it was the sole responsibility of the municipal government to pay for. And I would imagine the town council disagreed. So they appealed to the federal government, which split the bill between the town and the railway. The government argued that the railway had instigated establishment of the town and, in fact, had benefited financially from it, so it deserved to pay for some part of the railway's costs.
Indeed. Now, what's the story behind the other subway? That one, I believe, is located in Dauphin, right?
Right. Well, the essence of the story is the same as at Verdun. We have a large, prosperous town that is developing on two sides of a busy railway track. However, in Dauphin, there wasn't any educational imperative that motivated constructing a subway. Schools were located on both sides of the track, so students did not necessarily have to cross it. However, it was nevertheless true that pedestrians didn't want to wait for a train to cross. You know, especially if the weather was cold and wet, you know, you had to stand there in the drizzling rain, for example, that wouldn't be so much fun. So in 1921, the Dauphin Town Council approached the Canadian National Railway about constructing a subway under its track. The concrete passage, like the one at Verdun, was 8 feet wide and 8 feet tall, and was in this case 200 feet in length. It also cost an estimated $10,000, but they did have to spend a little extra money during the construction because the crew that was building the subway hit water along the way, and so they had to install a system of drainage, which added to the cost.
Now, again, these are large sums of money, even in this day and age. Who ultimately paid for the subway?
Well, in this case, the railway's attitude was completely different than in Verdun. Without a fight, the Canadian National agreed to pay the entire price, requiring only that the town of Dauphin assume responsibility for policing the subway and for lighting its interior so that it would be safe to travel on in the nighttime.
Okay. And earlier you had said that we would talk about how we know and what we know. So I was very intrigued. What do you mean by that?
Well, the longer ago that some event happened, the more difficult it can be to verify that it actually happened. Human memory becomes frail with the passage of time, and it's more likely that a fictional story, when repeated many times, becomes the truth. Of course, we're living in the era of fake news, so, you know, you can think of this as fake historical news. and so that's why I'm reluctant to believe a story until I can find a credible written source from around the same time as the event, when the details were still fresh in people's minds. And I think this may particularly affect the story of the Verdun subway.
Oh, how so?
Well, I spent hours scouring historical newspapers between 1910 and 1915, looking for an article about a girl injured by a train at Verdun. You know, I assumed that a horrific accident in which a little girl was injured would be sufficiently newsworthy that it would have been reported. Unfortunately, I found nothing. The only written account of the story that I could find was in a book on Verdun history, written in 1957, at least 42 years after the alleged incident took place. The writer of that book was an adult living in Verdun at the time of the accident. You know, so I suppose there is a greater likelihood of truthfulness to the story, but I confess that I'm usually skeptical when I hear, you know, heartrending or controversial historical stories for which a source cannot be easily identified. So I have to wonder, was there ever really a young girl injured by a moving train, or was it merely a good story that seemed to justify the act of spending a lot of money to build a pedestrian subway, especially when the railway wasn't keen on paying for it?
Mm-hmm. And we also have something to compare to here because we had the situation in Dauphin. So how about what happened in Dauphin?
Well, the Dauphin Herald newspaper from the early 20th century has been digitized, so it was easy to find stories about the construction of that subway in papers from 1921 and 1922, and it seems there was no motivating accident there for the construction. It was just seen as a convenience to enable pedestrians to avoid having to stand in the cold and wet while a train passed by.
And are there any other pedestrian subways in and around Manitoba?
To my knowledge, there's none other than the ones at Verdun and Dauphin. But, you know, there are many places where the inconvenience of waiting for a train might have motivated construction of a pedestrian subway. So if any of our listeners know about another pedestrian subway, please let me know.
And let me know, too, because I would love to know, actually. But until that point, can you give us a hint, Gordon, about next week?
Every so often, we update information on places and topics we have discussed in previous episodes of Abandoned Manitoba. So next week, there will be several updates, including buildings, railway cars, and even cereal.
Looking forward to it, Gordon.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.